Grace be unto you and peace from God, your heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The word from God is recorded in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, reading in the 10th verse as follows. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is our text. We pray, O God, my Father, make me strong when tasks of life seem hard and long, to greet them with this triumph song, Thy will be done. Amen. Dear fellow disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, I want to speak to you this morning for just a few moments on the theme, The Christian's Cry of Victory. Thy will be done. Many tasks that we human beings are given to undertake during our life here on earth oftentimes seem initially overwhelming and well-nigh impossible to achieve. Looking back over 42 years of ministry in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, and recalling especially some of my early calls and positions and situations, I found tasks that seemed like mountains that were immovable, and problems that looked so vexing, I said, I'll never get through these. And one of those challenging mountains was seminary education itself. And it seems to me that if some of you who are here beginning your theological studies for the first time begin to approach the challenges of the routine of study, that it could loom like a huge mountain before you and you'd say, how can I ever get through all this work? When you think of the dozens and dozens of courses you must complete, when you think of the hundreds and hundreds of classes you will attend, the myriad of assignments that will come your way, the hundreds of books that you will read, the many, many papers you must prepare and write, that if you look at it all at once, you may come to the conclusion that this is one of those tasks described in our opening prayer that is long and hard. But you really shouldn't look at it that way. You should approach it confidently, not fearfully. Approach it confidently with the Christian's cry of victory, Thy will be done. You recognize this text as part of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray when they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. It's the third petition. Martin Luther's small catechism says the good and gracious will of God is done indeed without our prayer of itself. But we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. That is, we're not just praying in some general way that it would be nice for God's will to be done all around the world and all the continents and in all the nations. Oh, that's good. We want that. But we're not just praying that. We're not even just praying that God's will be done throughout the church. Luther reminds us that it must be done among us also. That means in our own family circle. That means in our own community, in our own congregation, on this campus, and finally by you and by me. We want God's will to be done, not our will. And this little petition should become the daily prayer of every Christian, Lord, Thy will be done in my life. We want God's will to be applied in our personal life. Every decision, whether big or little, we pray, if it be Thy will, O Lord. How is this done? When God breaks and hinders every evil counsel and will, which would not let us hallow His name or let His kingdom come, such as the devil, the world, and our flesh, but strengthens and preserves us steadfast in His word and faith unto our end. This is His gracious and good will. We said some of you are just beginning your theological studies. There may be moments of fear and hesitation. But you shouldn't look at that mountain of work that is stretched out 4 years before you any more than you look at the mountain of food that you will consume this year. If God were suddenly to demonstrate to you and gather all the food that you would consume in the next 365 days and put it on a table before you, you couldn't put it all on one table. And if you would see that mountain, you would say, I can't eat all that. It's too much. It's overwhelming. But somehow we managed to get the job done by taking 3 meals a day, a few snacks in between, and before you know it, it's all gone. And I think there's a parallel there. You don't look at the whole mountain of food that you have to consume, and don't look at the whole mountain of courses. All you have to be concerned about is today's courses, today's assignment, are you prepared, and be sure you're prepared for tomorrow. In the same spirit of the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. You know the will of God is always best and shall be done forever. And those who trust in Him are blessed. He will forsake them never. He helps indeed in time of need. He chastens with forbearing. They who depend on God, their friend, shall not be left despairing. I would remind you that it was that perfect, good, and gracious will of God that sent His only begotten Son into this world to suffer and die for the sins of the whole world, for everybody, but most importantly, for you and for me, for the sins that we daily still commit. More specifically, we could point out that it was God the Father's will that His only begotten and beloved Son should die a painful, excruciating death on the cross by crucifixion for those sins, that we might have total, complete, and full forgiveness in His blood. And the Lord Jesus Christ, that perfect, obedient, sinless Lamb of God, went the way of the cross, and His victory cry was the same as I point out to you in our text today. Jesus prayed earnestly, if it be possible, remove this cup of suffering from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That was the victory cry of our salvation. And it is my prayer that, it is a prayer that all of us need to pray every day. Thy will be done, not my will. Recognizing that our will does not always necessarily initially conform to God's will, but we pray that He bend our will and make our will His will. Did you ever stop to think about the fact that anyone who truly commits himself totally, 100% to the will of God and says, here I am, Lord, take me, use me, whatever you say goes. Any person who makes that commitment can never be a loser, because what happens is God's will, and that makes you happy. Listen to the promises of His holy word. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. For the past 3 decades, I've had a little plaque hanging on the wall over my desk at home. It was given to me many years ago by a campus pastor in a synodical prep school. And I have to admit to you and confess that I didn't put the plaque up right away. It didn't excite me too much. I thought just another one of those religious slogans, packed it away in boxes with books and gathered dust. But the more I began to study theology, go through the seminary, the more I read theology, the more the Holy Spirit granted me insight and faith, I began to take that plaque out and dust it off. For the last 3 decades, it goes up first in my study. Its simple message is this: the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. Think of that. The will of God will never lead you to a place, to a circumstance, to a condition, to a situation where His grace cannot reach you and keep you. Of course, this little statement is not a Bible passage, but it's based on the truth of many Bible passages which it summarizes, such as all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to His purposes. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. So the child of God will often find himself asking this question of God and praying to God, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And you recognize that question immediately as the words of Saul on the way to Damascus, where he was knocked to the ground, where he's blinded by a great light, where he hears the voice of Jesus saying, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Saul's response is part, what do you want me to do? What wilt thou have me to do? Prior to that incident, Saul's life was certainly not conforming to the will of God. After that incident, God turned him around. He intervened dramatically and decisively in Saul's life and made of him truly a new man in Christ. God still intervenes in the lives of His people today. And even as in the case of Saul, He uses human intermediaries. God called on Ananias to be that human intermediary to make His will known to Saul. God has intervened in your life and my life. He intervenes through pastors and teachers and professors and parents and friends and neighbors and relatives and other Christians in the household of faith who admonish us, who encourage us, who comfort us with the Word of God. God intervened in your life in holy baptism, gave you the gift of faith. God intervenes in your life with the proclamation of the gospel. He calls you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He has used many human intermediaries to bring you to this place of study. He intervened in your life to bring you here today. And you know, He was just answering your prayer. You prayed for that to happen. Every time you earnestly and sincerely pray, thy will be done. So may God richly bless your days and weeks and years that you spend on this campus in theological study, searching and studying the Scriptures, probing and plumbing the depths of the riches of the mysteries of God. May you learn not only to pray daily with earnestness and fervor, thy will be done, but also learn to pray the prayer of the psalmist who said it this way, Lord, teach me to do thy will. We close with the words of the hymnist, My Jesus, as thou wilt, O may thy will be mine. Into thy hand of care I would my all resign. Through sorrow or through joy, conduct me as thine own, and help me still to say, thy will be done. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.